He's very, very different than the God of the modern church. There must be a class that the devil teaches, and it's a short class. You just sign up, you go in there, and he says, here's all you need to say the rest of your life. Don't judge. And Jesus turned water into wine. Every lost person, and then once they say that, they're done. Or the third, if you get your master's degree in the devil's school, well, men wrote the Bible. That's it. That's all they got. I mean, 40 years, that's all I've heard. You got to have something better. Or if they got their doctorate in the devil, well, there's contradictions in the Bible. Okay, just one. Here it is. I know they're in there. Okay, come on. Just one, big boy. Let's have it. You're smart enough to reject the Word of God. Show me why. And the reason why is they read a book that a man wrote. Men just wrote the book that you're using to say that men just wrote the Bible. Anyway, if you don't judge, you're not godly, because God judges everybody all day long. That's what He does. And if you think it's not godly or Christian to judge, all you're doing is professing your ignorance of God and your ignorance of Jesus Christ. Judging is what God's all about. If God didn't judge people, everybody'd like Him. If God didn't judge, everybody'd read the Bible and say it's the best book on the face of the earth. People hate this Bible because every time they read it, it judges them. That's what bothers people about this book. They don't mind going to the movies. They'll pay to go sit through a movie because the movie doesn't say don't do that. The movie doesn't say you're wrong. But you can't get them to listen to a sermon for free, because if the man's preaching God's Word, something in the course of that sermon is going to say you're wrong.
That's right.
Now, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. The Bible's judging you. I'm telling what the Bible says. But that's judgment. People say, I don't believe in judging. Everybody does. There's not a person alive that doesn't judge other people all day long. So get over yourself and stop trying to apply one set of standards for yourself and one for everybody else. You judge the person who's judging you for judging you. You don't judge me. I just say right back to them. I say, don't judge me. Stop judging me for judging you. You've got to decide it's wrong to judge. Well, how come you got a favorite team? Why don't you like every team equally? How come you have a favorite food? Why don't you like every food equally? How come you didn't pick a wife or a husband with your eyes closed? Love is blind. No, it ain't. Better not be. So people judge and judge all the time. The Bible says this, verse number 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against. People against God because God's against them. People don't want to know what God says about what they're doing, because most of what they're doing, God's against it. He's against all ungodliness. Now, who would define that? He would. He's against all unrighteousness of men. Who would define that? He would. Now, for God to say something's right, then at the same time, He's saying everything else is wrong. If God is saying something is in line with His character, then He's saying anything that's not in line with His character is ungodly. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known to God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, why would you need an excuse if you weren't being judged? Now and in the future. People only need excuses when somebody says, what'd you do that for? People only need excuses when somebody says, what was that all about? And then here come the excuses. So the Bible says that one day man is going to stand before God and he's going to try and come up with excuses, and there will be no excuse for misconduct. Now, the only way you could stand before God without any excuse for misconduct is if God had explained to you what proper conduct was. If you're inexcusable, then you're going to be judged on the basis of what you knew or what you could have known if you were an honest person. Well, I didn't know God was against that. You made no effort to find out if God was against that. You stayed away from everybody that knew God. You stayed away from everybody that read a Bible. When you went to church, you made sure it was one that didn't preach the Bible. When you had a free evening, you never read God's book. You read every other book on the face of the earth. Don't say you didn't know. Say you didn't want to know. God's going to judge people on the basis of the information that was available to them, whether they availed themselves of the information or not. I believe there's a term, maybe they still use it, maybe they don't, I don't know. I learned this back when I was in high school, back when laws generally were enforced. But they used to say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And I remember saying to my dad more than once, I said, well, I didn't know that was wrong. He said, well, you better find it out fast. In other words, you're accountable for right and wrong, and if you don't know right from wrong, you better get a hold of somebody or something that can let you know what's right and what's wrong. Now, so that's God. That's God. Father, bless your word tonight, please. I pray you'd find us desirous to know you and know your truth and live by it, walk in it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 18. Genesis chapter number 18. I just don't like people judging me. Well, then straighten up. I just don't think God's going to judge me. Well, that's where you're wrong. Dead wrong. You better get over that mistaken idea. So this Abraham, and he's pleading with the Lord. And he's praying, asking God to get his nephew Lot out of that mega church that tolerates everything down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 25, Abraham says, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Great phrase in your Bible, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. Amen. Now, that's Abraham pleading with the Lord. And you could say, well, that's just Abraham, you know, that's his viewpoint, that's his vantage point as to whether or not, you know, but here's what I want you to see about the verse. Before God revealed himself as the I Am, that's Exodus 3. Before God revealed himself as Jesus, that's Matthew chapter 1, his name known to Abraham with a capital J is Judge of All the Earth. If you don't believe in a God that judges, you got a fairy tale God that you invented. Amen. The real God, the true God, his name is Judge, capital J. That's what he does. You know what the context of this passage is? Whether or not God's going to just burn the Sodomites, or whether or not he's going to burn the people that approved of the Sodomites. That's the context. And Abraham says, Lord, would you get the people out of town who just went along with it before you destroy the people who were doing it? And then he just had to leave it up to the Lord because the Lord's a judge of all the earth and whatever he decides to do, it'll be the right thing. But if you have heard somewhere, somehow, that God doesn't judge, that's a God someone invented. If you've heard that if you're like God or you're representing God, you won't judge anybody or judge anything, you have been lied to. His name is the Judge of all the earth. That's interesting. Very interesting passage of Scripture. Now come to Psalm 96. Psalm number 96. Psalm 96. You just have to forgive me if my approach or perspective doesn't suit yours. I got saved reading the Old Testament. So I knew from the time I knew anything that Jesus had died on a cross and Jesus had risen from the dead. What I found out at 18 years old reading the Old Testament is God was going to judge my sorry life and put me in hell if I didn't get saved. That kind of a God you don't hear much about nowadays. But he's not, he don't toy with sin. Yeah. It's not a joke to God. It's serious business. Psalm 96 and verse number 7. We'll just get some good stuff here, Lee. It's all good, but you know, for those of you who think it has to be rah-rah to be good. Verse 7, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. We should tell people that don't know God, the Lord reigneth. Say among the heathen, the Lord reigneth. The world also should be established that it should not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. See that? God's great, praise his name. God's good, praise his name. God rules, praise his name. Bring him an offering. Come into the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Tell everybody how great God is and make sure they know he's going to judge every one of them. That's what he does. He shall judge the people righteously. You know what I don't know when I judge you? I don't know why you did what you did. I have no idea. That's why so often our judgments are not correct. We know what someone did. We don't know why they did it, or we don't know what motivated them, or we saw the retaliation. We didn't see the initial. There's just so many things we don't know. God knows. He knows what was done. He knows why it was done. He knows everything there is to know. God knows it. And he's going to judge on that basis. He's going to judge righteously. He's not going to let anybody off that was guilty. He's not going to punish anybody that was innocent. Who's that? He's going to judge. You're going to judge the people. What people? All the people. Every last one of them. God's going to judge them. If you're saved, we must all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost, the dead, small and great, stand before God at the white throne judgment. There's not a person who's ever drawn a breath that will not be judged by God.
That's right.
Righteous judgment. Amen. Don't hear much about that nowadays, do we? Revelation 19. I just wish Jesus Christ come back to this earth and set up his kingdom and fix all the things that are wrong. Well, let's take a look at Jesus Christ come back to the earth and see if anybody's really excited about him showing up. Revelation 19, verse number 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. That's a man going to worship an angel. He said to me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant to thy brethren that of the testimony of Jesus worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful. See the capital F? That's the name of person. Who's that person? Jesus Christ. He's faithful. And true. Hallelujah. Capital T. That's his name. That Jehovah's Witness said God's only name is Jehovah. No, his name is Faithful. His name is True. His name is Judge. That's three of them right there. He's got a lot of names. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. God judges you. God judges me. God judges everybody. I think it's wrong to judge. You're wrong. It's right to judge because God is righteous and he judges everybody. That's what it says. That's what it says. Now, if you want to know something's right or wrong, ask God. He's righteous. You want to know if you should do something or not do something, ask God. He's righteous. He will pronounce judgment upon every thought, every word, every deed, every action. Ask God. He's going to judge it anyway. You may as well figure out what the right thing to do is before you do something. So whatever you do, he's going to judge it. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. I know Blake's parents. Blake's parents love him. I know Kyle's parents. Kyle's parents love him. I know Caleb's parents. Caleb's parents love him. I know Audrey's parents. They're praying. They love all these young people sitting in the front row. Sister Barbara, I didn't know her parents, but all these young people, they know how to play on these instruments. And when they start taking lessons, when they'd hit a wrong note, their parents or their teacher that their parents hired wouldn't say, "Well, that's beautiful." They'd say, no, that's not right. Now, wouldn't it be crazy for that teacher, whether it's parent or someone parent hired, wouldn't it be crazy that teacher said, "Well, you know, I don't want to judge. It sounded like a wrong note, but I don't want to judge. It sounded horrible, but I don't want to be critical." They will never, ever, ever learn to play "Jesus Loves Me" if I don't tell them that what they're doing is incorrect. You know what that is? That's judging. You can't learn to play an instrument. You can't learn to type. You can't learn to write. You can't learn mathematics unless somebody judges you. Which is why you now have illiterates getting diplomas. Somebody thought you could have an education system and not judge anybody. It's insanity. If you have a driver's license, at some point in time in the distant past, you had to pass a driving test. Thank God. Everybody had to pass a driving test. And thank God the person giving the driving test was critical and judgmental and said, no. Well, you know, I want a driving instructor that's not going to judge me. I want a driving instructor that's not going to criticize me. Nobody else wants you to have that driving instructor. I'm going to hire you to cook my meals. I want you to have had a very critical trainer. I want them to have taught you the difference between cooking oil and Drano. Well, I don't think I should judge. I mean, they're both liquids, and people are so crazy. God will tell you what's right, and they'll tell you what's wrong. And when you want this world fixed, it won't get fixed until Jesus Christ comes back and judges. Righteousness, judging, making war. Romans 14, look at verse 11. Romans 14. All right, okay, I'll read 10. I know it's here. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." The context here is, you better not have a higher standard for somebody else than you have for yourself, because God has the same standard for you that he has for everybody else. That's what he said. Verse 11, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now here, look in the context. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Here's what he's saying. We all judge all the time, but he's saying, why are you so all fired up about getting him or her ready for their judgment? You ought to be busy getting yourself ready for your judgment, because you're going to answer to God for you. Now get that 11, 12 verse, get it real good. Every one of us, verse 12, shall give account of himself to God. We're going to say this all night long so you can get it, so you can tell your friends and tell your family members, God judges everybody. God judges everything everybody does. When you say, "I just don't believe in a God who judges people," your God is no more real than something you made out of Legos. There's your little plastic God. Stick a plastic hat on his head and call him deity. It's not real. It's not real. It's made in the factory. Everybody wants a God. You know why people want a God that doesn't judge? So they can live like the devil and go to heaven. It's not how it works. We're in the Bible. Hope you like the Bible. We're in the Bible. Let's go back to Revelation. Why didn't you just read it while we were there? Well, it's fun to turn pages. Or if you got your Bible on your device, it's fun to punch a button. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Verse 11. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. Well, now where are you going to hide? There is nowhere. There's not a rock to hide behind. There's not a tree to hide behind. There's nothing. It's just you standing there before, right there in front of God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to his works. Is there anybody that's not getting this? If you die, you're still going to get judged. If you go to hell, you're still going to get judged. If you drown in the middle of the ocean and nobody ever knows what became of your body, you're going to get judged. If you get incinerated in an atomic bomb, you are going to stand in front of God and be judged. I don't believe in a God. You will. You will believe in a God that judges when you're standing there face to face with Him. 14, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, this is the second death, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, just in case you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you say, I'm never going back to church like this. Okay, so this is your one chance, you better get it. That little limp-wristed, lisping fellow you're going to find for a minister, if you don't like this, he's not going to tell you what I'm about to tell you. If you are going to be judged by God, and it's a fact according to the Bible, you better figure out the one and only way to pass that judgment without ending up in a lake of fire. And it sure isn't your good works, because you've already done enough bad works to flunk that judgment. You better find somebody can forgive all your sins and it can stand with you when you stand before God and plead your cause. And that ain't Buddha. And it's not Confucius. And it sure ain't Muhammad. And it's not Joe Smith and the Bicycle Boys. And it's not Rutherford and the Watchtower Peddlers. And it's not a Pope or a priest. It's Jesus Christ. Not Yeshua. Jesus Christ. Not Yahweh. Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins. You say, well, that's not how they pronounce in other countries. You're not in another country. Well, in other languages, you don't. That's not. We're talking to you in your language, right here, right now, tonight. You got one hope of getting by this judgment, and it's Jesus Christ. People break their necks trying to figure out a way to make the Bible untrue. Why don't you just get on your knees and say, God, have mercy on my poor soul. I'm a sinner. Yeah. Good. Amen. I just don't believe God would judge me. You're going to believe it.
That's right.
You don't believe it tonight, you'll believe it one day. But this book says everybody's going to stand before God and He's going to judge them. He's not going to give everybody a lollipop for showing up. You don't get a trophy for participating in life. Your name's not in that book of life. You're sunk.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Forever. Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2.
You sound mean. I like that mean preaching.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's. Let me ask you something. We all love animals, right? We all love little doggies and little kitty cats and chimpanzees and all that.
Manatees.
Manatees. So here's this dog. This dog's sitting in the living room, and I say to that dog,
oh, you're such a cute little dog. I'm going to cut you up, cook you for stew.
That dog will wag its tail. If I say to that dog, you're the best dog I ever had in the world. I'm going to take good care of you till you die. That dog puts its tail between its legs, go crawl in the corner. You know why? Because it's stupid. It has no idea what I'm saying. All it knows is how it feels when I say it. You know why you can't preach to people in this generation? Because they're stupid. They don't have any idea what you said. They just know it either made them wag their tail or tuck their tail between their legs. Now, a man goes to a park and he's a total pervert and he smiles and he's got candy and he talks nice to the children. Well, you think he's a good guy because he talks sweet and kind and smiles? You got to get over that. It is not mean to stand in front of a group of people who don't pay attention and say, hey, listen up. God is going to judge you. Get right with God. He's just so mean. No, you're wrong. The mean guy is the minister who won't tell you the truth. He's trying to seduce you and get you in a van that's going to take you to hell. Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. By the way, these people say, well, I just don't believe in judging anybody. Well, how come you're against child molesters and sexual predators? You believe in judging? You think a senator, a congressman, or a movie producer that assaults a woman ought to lose their job or worse? Well, why are you judging them for? Everybody judges. They just don't want to be judged. Romans 2, verse number 11. For there is no respect to persons with God. He's not going to judge everybody else and let you off. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law should be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law should be justified, so everybody's out. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. That's why people blush and hide when they do things that are criminal and that are perverted, because even though they haven't read anything about it in God's Word, they know it's wrong. 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. All right, so point one, and we'll spend a month on this when we get to Romans 2 in 2021. Or whenever we get there. Here's what he said. Instead of you worrying about what about the people over there in the jungle that don't know what I know, you know what God said? I'm not going to judge them on the basis of what they don't know. I'm going to judge them on the basis of what they know. And I'm not going to judge you on the basis of what they didn't know. I'm going to judge you on the basis of what you knew. Now here's what he's going to do. He's going to put you right here, and he's going to put Jesus Christ right here, and if the two lives don't match, you're sunk. That's what he said. He's going to judge you by Jesus Christ. And he's not going to just judge what people know about you. He's going to judge every one of your secrets. He's going to judge the two things you haven't yet posted on Facebook. I can't believe saved people want the whole world to see their sin. That's what they're doing anymore. No discretion. Titus said the older women, he'd teach the younger women to be discreet. You know why? Because they'll put everything out there for the whole world to see. They got these guys, man. These guys are like, they're senators and congressmen, and they're 70 years old, and they're sending naked pictures of themselves over the internet. Hey, stupid. The only person that wants to see that picture is insane. She loves me. I'm going to send her a picture of me without any clothes on. Well, guess what? Next week when she doesn't love you, she ain't deleting that picture. People are out of their minds, man. This country is so reprobate. It is so far in the sewer. I don't know you can get it out. Make America terrible again would be an improvement over what's going on right now. We're past that. Anyway, so here's what he's going to do. Lord's going to take you. He's going to take all your secrets, sir. He's going to take your deleted browsing history. Here's what we're going to do, sister. He's going to take everything you didn't want anybody to hear you say, and he's going to put every bit of that down next to Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't match Jesus Christ, he is going to judge it. And if you say, well, I don't think that's right, he's going to show you where he put it in writing in his book. That's what he said. Secrets, he's going to judge the secrets by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. So how do you know if anything in your life's not right? Is it in accord with what's written in the book? If it's not, it's wrong. If it's wrong, God's judgment is against it. So what do you need to do? If you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ your Savior so you can forgive your sins. And if you are saved, you need to get as much of that junk out of your life as you can so you don't have a glorious bonfire to judgment seat of Christ. We live in the woods out there, and one of the reasons it's such a blessing to live in the woods out there is I get to set stuff on fire and burn it up. It's just, there's nothing more relaxing than just burning stuff up. Just set on fire and watch it burn, watch the smoke go up. People come by and say, what you doing? I said, just practicing for the judgment seat of Christ. Just seeing what it's like to watch your whole life go up in smoke. That'd be awful. Get saved, and you save 50 years, and then you die, and you get to stand before the Lord, and just everything just smoke. Wood, hay, stubble, fire, smoke, and you're waiting, hoping something comes out on the other side. Some gold, some silver, some precious stones. There ain't enough there to cap one tooth in your glorified body. We're going to have gold teeth up there? I don't know. Never thought about it, actually, until just now. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. God will judge fairly. If you didn't have the law, he won't judge you for breaking the law. If you did have the law, he'd judge you for breaking the law. If you knew a little, he'll judge you for the little you knew. If you knew a lot, he'll judge you for the lot that you knew. You say, well, I just won't learn anything. Well, then he'll judge you for what you could have known if you'd tried. James chapter 4, James 4, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, we think killing somebody is a sin, harming a child is a sin, adultery is a sin, lying is a sin, drinking's a sin. We know what a sin is. You know what the Lord said? How about all the things you knew you should have done that you haven't done? How about all the things we're supposed to do that we're not doing? Look, you are not going to heaven on your good works. God's not going to judge me for the bad things I did. He's going to judge me for the good things I didn't do. You don't have a chance without Jesus Christ. You understand that? You don't have a chance. Okay, I didn't kill my neighbor, but I don't love my neighbor as myself. I'm commanded to. Isn't that right? I didn't bear false witness to my neighbor, but I didn't tell him how to be saved. I'm commanded to. I didn't waste my money on alcohol. And I didn't give anything to the Lord. It's not just what, see, we, It's not just getting the wrong out, it's getting the right in. All right, John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. And somebody says, who are you to condemn me? Oh, I thought you might say that. You were condemned before I showed up. John 3, verse 16. We all like this verse. Many of you looked it up once while watching a sporting event. Guy can't wear that rainbow wig anymore. It doesn't work with the John 3, 16. Lord's going to get that rainbow back. It was His. It was His. It'll be His again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. See that? Already condemned. Well, who would condemn? God. God condemns everyone that hasn't believed on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He'll save you if you'll trust Jesus Christ. But He's going to judge you. He will either judge you after your sins have been paid for by Christ, or He will judge you after you rejected the Christ who paid for your sins. Those are the only two options. The option's not, do I get judged or not get judged? The option is, do I get judged as one who's washed in the blood of the Lamb, or do I get judged as one who trod the blood of that Lamb under my feet? John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And verse number 9. John 1, 9. Verse 8, He was not that light, capital L, there's another name for God, sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Everybody living, if they would respond to the truth that God put in them when He made them, they would end up trusting God and His Son. They'll start there, but they'd end there. Faith to faith, Romans 1. He's the true light. Lighteth every man cometh in the world. Now, come back to John 3. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, why is the man who doesn't have the law as guilty as the man who has the law? Now, they're only judged based on what they know, but they're both equally guilty and condemned. This is why. Over there at that wall is the light, capital L. That's the Savior. There He is. Some men are born in a Christian home with a Christian family. They go to church a week after they open their eyes. They are born this close to that light, capital L. Somebody else is born in a voodoo witch doctor's home, way off over here. He's a long way from that light, capital L. But between everyone who cometh into the world and that light is light. That baby, that little toddler over there and this little toddler over here are both going to see something that doesn't belong to them, and their mother's going to say no. And something in that heart is going to rise up and say, I'm going to take it anyway, or something in the heart's going to say, okay, Mommy. And each one of them will take a step toward that big L, capital L light. And throughout your lifetime, God is going to say, that's wrong, and if you'll respond, and that's right, and if you'll respond, and he'll give you a gospel tract at a Christmas parade, and you'll tear it up and throw it away, or you'll put it in your pocket and take it home and read it and think about it, and you're, you know what he said? You aren't born knowing Jesus Christ, but you are born knowing that God prefers the light of truth and righteousness to the darkness of lies and sin, and every step you make toward light says to God, I want light. And he'll give you more light and more light and more light. And one night you'll be sitting in church and you'll say, I see it. I never saw it before. And you'll walk that aisle and you'll bow your knees and you'll get saved. And you'll say, I never heard it until that night. You heard it for years. A little here and a little there and a little tug here and a little conviction there and a little judgment there and a little pull on the conscience over the... And as long as you'll keep responding to that light, God will get you to the Savior. And as soon as you say to truth and light, I love my darkness rather than that light, you're just dooming yourself to a reprobate condition. You don't have to know what everybody else knows. You don't have to know what anybody else knows. But you have to respond from your heart to what God shows you. And if you'll respond to that, he'll show you something else. You respond to that, he'll show you something else. You respond to that, he'll show you something else. And you spend your whole life just bowing up and getting angry if everybody rebukes you and corrects you and judges you, you're doomed. You're just doomed. Because what you're saying to God is, I love the darkness of this life of sin more than I love light wherever it is and whatever it is. I don't want it. That's why people grow up in good homes and churches like this and they're out there in the world. And there's people standing up here singing in our choir whose father's lost, whose mother's lost, whose brothers are lost, whose sisters are lost, who never set foot in a Bible preaching church till they were in their 30s. How do you grow up in a good church and end up out in the world? Because you love darkness. How do you grow up out in the world and end up saved in a Bible-believing church? Because you love light. It's how you respond when God judges you. And he judges you every time this book's open. Proverbs 20. We're okay. It's the night is young. If you're saved, you got nowhere to go anyway. Proverbs. my dad. He went to the doctor. He'd gotten really big. And that doctor said, Mr. Knox, if you don't lose this weight, I can't help you. He said, Doc, I got right with God. And he said, everything I enjoyed doing, my son, the preacher, took away from me. I'm going to eat. he said, it's the only thing left that's not a sin. Say, what happened to him? He's in heaven. Well, you know, if he'd eaten better, oh, he could have got to stay down here longer. What a shame. Like that guy got to heaven, he looked up his wife. He said, if you'd let me eat junk food instead of oatmeal, I could have got here 15 years sooner. Proverbs 20. Don't come tell me after church I shouldn't have said that. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You know what God put inside you? Look, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit God gave you. Okay? Let's talk about those little doggies and those little kitties again. We got these two cats. They just showed up out of nowhere. And they're still around because somebody feeds them. And it's not me. But those cats, They'll make more cats and they'll never get married. And when they're making those more cats and they're not married, they don't feel the least bit bad about them because they have no spirit inside them put there by God to tell them anything's right or wrong. That dog from down the road, it'll come get with that other dog, and they'll make puppies, and they don't even care if you know about it. They got no conscience at all. Doesn't bother them a bit. You teach boys and girls, they came from evolution, that they're animals. They'll just make babies and don't care if you know it, and they won't feel bad about it. They won't be embarrassed about it. They won't be ashamed of it. They'll just live like animals. But somewhere down in there, there's a spirit that God gave to man that he didn't give to the beasts. And he searches you out. And if you'd ever turn off the music and you'd ever turn off the TV and you'd ever put down the phone and just get quiet somewhere for a little while, that spirit inside would say, that's not right. That's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be living like that. If you'll respond to that just a little bit, you start moving closer to the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That conscience, that conviction, that spirit on the inside will bring you to truth and bring you to God. Yeah, we got so many things working against us trying to get people saved nowadays, but the big thing we got against us is 24 hours a day people have something going into their ears and into their eyes to keep them from ever hearing their conscience. They are constantly distracted and entertained. You know what's called? It's called amusement. The word muse means to think. Ah is the anti. Amusement, to keep you from thinking. That's America. They don't think about going to hell. They don't think about anything. Just play me something. Show me something. Entertain me. Dance for me. Give me a light show. Give me an app. I got a new app. Whoop-de-double-doo. Who cares? No, look what it can do. I don't want to look what it can do. Think what you could do if you had a life. If you can hold your whole life in your hand and freak out when the battery on your life gets low, that's not much of a life. I have one. It's a phone. You know what I do with it? I make phone calls. I get phone calls. It's amazing. You ought to try it. You can make phone calls with it. And when you're done talking on the phone, you can put it in your pocket and just, like it's not even there, you can just ignore it. If there is evolution, man, the next generation is going to be... Proverbs 20 says there's a spirit in there. God's searching you out. Jeremiah 29. You see, you ought to count them sometime. We're standing on there preaching downtown DeLand. It's amazing how many people are driving by. They are looking at that phone, driving right by you in the car. I'll be going down the interstate. I'll look over and the person next to me, they're looking right at that phone. Man, I mash my horn, they jump, look up. 75 miles, or 65 miles an hour. And they're not even looking at the road. You know how far you travel from the time you get your eyes off that phone and get up and figure out where you are? Long enough to kill yourself and somebody else. Put the thing down, man. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now look at this. This is really cool. You get a little light and you respond to it. You move God's direction. You get a little light. And you respond to it, you move God's direction. Here's what he said. I will begin to search your inward parts. And if you'll let me do that, you will begin to search for me. And the more of your heart you let me search, the more of you is going to be devoted to searching for me. And you're going to end up finding me. But I was the one looking for you. You know who's here Sunday morning? People aren't looking for God. You know what comes back Sunday night? People look for Him more than the people that were here Sunday morning. You know what comes back in the middle of the week? The people that searched for Him with more of their heart than the people that were back Sunday night. You know who's out doing things? They could have free time, but they don't. They could have hobbies, but they don't. And they could be involved in other things, but they're not. You know why some of you are so busy serving the Lord? And people say, what are you doing all that for? What do you mean doing that? Why do you say it like that? I want to do this. Because the more you allow God to search you and judge you, and the more you respond to God's searching of your heart and judging of your life, the more you start looking for Him and going after Him. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. So Hebrews 11:6 says, He that cometh to God must believe that He is. One more stop here, Isaiah 55, right in the neighborhood, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. God is judging you right now. God's judging all of us. Every hour of every day. One day, we're going to die and stand before Him. You realize it then. You'll see it then, clear as it can be. God's judge. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. I'm too busy to get involved in any of these silly debates anymore, especially these internet debates, so I'm not going to argue with anybody ever again about repentance. I'm just going to preach the Bible. Amen. That Bible says there's abundant pardon, and that Bible says there's mercy. Not until you forsake something and go God's direction. You are not saved by your works. You are not saved by your repentance. You are not saved by turning around, but you won't be saved until you repent, until you turn around. Muslim's not going to get saved until he quits trusting Islam. Roman Catholic's not going to get saved until he quits trusting sacraments. A Baptist's not going to get saved until he quits trusting his baptism that he got when he was 6 years old. You're going to have to turn from what you're clinging to toward God. And when you do that and you call on Him, He'll save you by His grace and save you by His mercy. Now, knowing He's going to judge you, I'd turn to Him pretty quick. And if you save, knowing He's going to judge your life, I'd respond pretty quick to whatever it is He's shown me. And I sure would encourage you. I mean, I appreciate you coming to church. I do. I appreciate you coming back Sunday night and Thursday night and all the times you're here. Some of you here 5-6 days a week. But even that, somewhere, somehow, you got to get quiet somewhere with God. And let Him search you out. Let Him put His finger on some things in your life that He wants improved upon or left off, something like that. Give Him a chance to do something. Show you something. Let that candle shine around in there. Amen. All right, so somebody's going to tell you, probably between now and the 25th, don't judge me. God judges. God judges everybody all the time. And then you die. And then He really judges you. He's the judge. That's His name. The judge. all the earth does right. Amen. Anybody here believe in God judging? Yeah. Get ready. I have an advocate. I stand before the judge. I'm just going to say, lawyer, point to Jesus. Let him speak for me. Hope you know him. Amen. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for caring enough about us to give us light to respond to. Thank you for drawing us to yourself. Lord, you're so good to us, so merciful to us. Father, deliver us from all these lying voices in the world today that would tell us that you don't judge. How destructive that would be if we'd listen to that. Deliver us, Lord, from all these false voices, false witnesses. Help us to do right. Help us to be right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Have a great week. Good night.